Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined today by IMLCA President and Limestone Head Coach J.B. Clark on the eve of the 2018 IMLCA Coaches Convention in Baltimore, Maryland. It's an annual event. It's an opportunity to get all the college coaches and a tremendous number of high school coaches together to celebrate and learn more about the game. And as we said, on the eve of that, wanted to get a sense of where the IMLCA is, in addition to what folks can keep their ear to the ground about as far as this convention is concerned. So first things first, Coach Clark, thanks for joining us.
Sorry, it's always a pleasure, and it's an honor to represent our coaches through the IMLCA. So I'm glad we get to do this, and I look forward to it.
So you took over. It was announced that you'd be taking over as president in February of 2015, and it was part of a suite of widespread changes. How do you kind of trace the evolution of the association from that point to now under your leadership?
Well, I think it's more about inclusion than anything. When we started about 13, 14 years ago, whatever it was, with Coach Meade and those guys that started the association, Coach Meade was the president, it was really just the board that did all the work. And it's evolved now to, you know, real inclusion. We have over 100 coaches operating on one committee or another. Some are on more than one committee. And all those committees are really doing the bulk of the work for the Coaches Association, and that's how Coach Meade saw it. That's how our coaches want it to be. We want this to be a very inclusive association, very democratic, if you will. So I think the biggest change has been the amount of coaches who have volunteered to work on the different committees and really steer this association. I think a coaches association needs to be driven by its coaches and by its members, and you know, Coach Murphy at UPenn is our VP, and I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago we charged him with chairing the committee to kind of determine what our future was going to look like. And he put together a strategic plan for us, and we're working that as we go forward. So I think those are the biggest. It's very fundamental, but we went from a board of directors kind of running this thing, 10 or 12 of us, to literally over 100 of us running this.
Coming away from last year, there was a lot of positive feedback around the organization with the event, the convention itself, in terms of the quality of the content that was provided and delivered. But that's, you know, only kind of the tip of the iceberg in terms of what people know or perceive about both the event as well as the association. So what are some of the other kind of like milestones or boxes that have been checked in terms of the things that you guys have accomplished?
Well, it's a good point, because it does kind of, the convention is kind of our, you know, our cornerstone. It's where we all get together. It's where most of our work is done. Quite frankly, and you know, traditionally we'd get to the December meetings, we'd jump up and down and scream and yell about things, and then we'd go away and we'd come back the next year, and the joke is we'd jump up and down and scream about the same things. So I think just getting all our committees together and forming those committees has been huge. Now, you know, when you really look at the rules thing, I think is the biggest thing that came out of last year's convention. Coach Tierney, Bill Tierney at Denver, was in charge of being the liaison for the rules for the NCAA and the IMLCA. And we had a lot of feedback over 2 years, really, with our coaches at all levels. It wasn't just about the, you know, I call them the TV guys. It wasn't just the Division I coaches that we all hear about. It was all across the board, from all levels of Division III, Division II, Division I, that had input for Coach Tierney and his committee to take back to the NCAA Rules Committee and actually attend that. So I think that the rules that you see implemented for this year, I think that's a major accomplishment, because so many different ideas from so many different levels were put into that. I think also the recruiting legislation that, you know, that wasn't really this year that went through, but working with the IWLCA and helping get that legislation passed was a major accomplishment for the sport of lacrosse. Unfortunately, on a side note, it looks like the NCAA is trying to roll that back right now, and that's going to be a major thing moving forward. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But I think those two things really over the course of the year, other than more foundational things, right? We now have a part-time director of operations. So I think that when you're over at the Marriott in a few weeks, Terry, you're going to see an even better convention, more organized. We have over 50 coaches. College coaches are going to speak at our convention. It's a true educational experience for everybody. And when you have outside people come to our convention, they're really amazed at the amount of information that our coaches share, during their speeches. So it's a lot of fun to hear those guys speak. But we have great buy-in from our coaches, and we want to be the best educational resource in the sport of lacrosse. We feel like we have the best coaches in the world coaching NCAA lacrosse. We get them all together in Baltimore, and we educate the heck out of each other and others as well. So I think those are the really exciting things that have been happening over this year.
You touched on something that I think is important for me to kind of share my point of view on, because it underscores why I've been so interested and to some degree invested in the goings on of the IMLCA over the years. And it's because, you know, and I've given this spiel a few times, so I apologize to those listeners who have heard it, but lacrosse is unique among North American sports in the role that college lacrosse plays in dictating its future, rule changes, and the health of the ecosystem in the industry and everything else. You know, when you look at most other sports, either there's a professional league or an Olympic overarching committee that uses a kind of bully pulpit to set the agenda for the sport. And in some instances, there's both. You know, lacrosse is in that regard kind of led by the NCAA. However, you know, as anybody who has followed the NCAA's movements closely is concerned or knows, you know, that number one, it's a large bureaucracy that tends to move pretty slowly. And number two, it's pretty heavily focused on, you know, the largest sources of revenue, that being men's basketball and to a lesser degree football and some of the other sports. And it's not to say that they don't care about lacrosse, but it's to say that, you know, lacrosse doesn't necessarily get as much a lion's share of the attention in order to be able to kind of, you know, set the directives. And that means that they take the influence from associations like the IMLCA and conferences and the Women's Coaches Association very seriously. And so as a result, you know, I think the Men's Coaches Association is uniquely well-situated to influence change that impacts the entire sport. And so with that in line, or that in mind, you talked about how Coach Murphy from Penn created a strategic plan. I know that he also created something of a mission statement. You know, we wrote about it coming away from last year's convention. And so as we transition the conversation from what was and what has been to what will be, how do you like kind of marry those two things together, you know, the mission statement that has been laid out, as well as the role of being a steward for the sport?
Well, I think it's very true what you say, and the NCAA, to their credit, they do want to hear from coaches associations. So having a very strongly structured kind of discussion amongst, you know, the 500 plus guys that had input into the rules is very important, and the NCAA wants to hear that. Now, unfortunately, what's happening now is the NCAA wants to make recruiting timeline that's the same for all sports. So that's one of our concerns, and we're working with the IWLCA on that, as you can imagine, that doesn't get rolled back. Now, the timeline might be fine for coaches. We're not exactly sure what those dates and things are, but you're very correct. It's important that our coaches are heard by the NCAA, and we're heard more now because of all the work that our coaches are doing to stay connected and to have a voice. So that's important. Where do we go moving forward? That's kind of what I hear your question being. For us, it's more of the same, quite frankly. We want to be involved in the future of lacrosse. You know, is the future of lacrosse going to look like it does now with regards to, are we going to be in the Olympics or not? Is the sport going to look the same if we are in the Olympics? Well, we should have some input from our college coaches on that. Is the sport going to look different from a recruiting standpoint? Is the club model, the tournament model, is that sustainable? Is that what's best for students, and is that what's best for our coaches? I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that, but I know that a lot of our coaches do, and that's going to be very serious discussion, you know, next week when we're up in Baltimore. You know, what is the future of recruiting look like? Is there a more stringent, almost basketball-like recruiting calendar for Division I? Well, if there is, that'll drastically change what the summer looks like, not only for recruitable student athletes, but also for our coaches. So there's going to be a lot of discussion about that. I think that the simple answer to your question, Terry, is that, you know, now that we have the structure and we're so sound, kind of inside, that we can have those discussions and have more weight moving forward.
You mentioned leadership and infrastructure as being essential to move the agenda forward. You know, I want to ask particularly because there has been the addition of folks who aren't board members, aren't college coaches, to the team that have helped smooth the operation, led by David Jesse. And I'm interested in your thoughts on the progress that the IMLCA has made as a result of his arrival.
David's been remarkable. Both David and Mara essentially came on at the same time, a few months apart. Mara Gallagher is our director of operations. Both of those people, David Jesse and Mara Gallagher, have so much experience with bigger sports entities. David was with NASCAR. He's done a lot of sales stuff with Empire Sports. He's done a lot of stuff with the University of Virginia. His wealth of knowledge outside of our sport. He's just a lacrosse dad. He never played it, but now he's a huge fan, as you can imagine. So bringing their experience and their wealth of knowledge to our board of directors and me in particular on, you know, they've really been telling us what this really could look like. Sometimes we as college coaches, we get painted into this room and we think this is our glass ceiling. And they've done a remarkable job of showing us, no, this isn't your ceiling. You guys could do so much more. Bringing those two on is going to be very noticeable when you get to the convention. Again, you know, we're going to have a pro night on Thursday night with MLL and NLL guys there, and that's going to be even ramped up more than it was a year ago. The content is going to be videotaped. It's going to be open for people to see. The pro night is a national audience. That's something that we as lacrosse coaches sitting in a room wouldn't have been able to figure out on our own, as you well know, Terry. So we're excited about things like that they're bringing to us, new sponsorships, and just, you know, it's a much more professional organization, as someone said to me the other day on the phone.
One of the boxes that's been checked was a partnership with Huddle last year, and it suggests a move toward technology that I think is really interesting and fascinating relative to kind of the sports overall ecosystem in general. Not necessarily on that particular, but more broadly, just in terms of the way in which the association is trying to engage technology development, including, you know, a relaunched website. What do you think the opportunities are there?
Geez, I'm not the tech guy. That's the problem. I think it's a very untapped resource for us. I really do. One of our missions and one of our plans and strategic plans is to be the educators for the sport at all levels, really. And, you know, the easiest way to do that is through the technology. And you can go back to guys like Coach Danowski that, you know, I think it's every Tuesday or Wednesday night. I mean, he's having a webcast of a chalkboard session in a classroom at Duke University. I mean, I can't imagine back when I first started coaching in Wilton, Connecticut, being able to watch, you know, whoever it was, every Wednesday night, have a chalkboard session for an hour, be able to send in questions, you know, via email. So I think as we start to progress into that, it's all cost money, as you know. So that's another part of what we're trying to do is figure out different ways to increase our revenue as an association. We've basically been, you know, zero. We sum out at $0 at the end of every year traditionally. So as we start to produce some revenue, we can start looking at doing some of those things with the tech community. And really, it's more about the education than anything. Promoting our sport, obviously. You know, we want our sport to grow. Coach Holman and a few others are starting a committee this December on growing the sport at the college level. So we hear of a school like Lander or, you know, Brevard or Barton, one of those schools, something like that, that is thinking of adding the sport of lacrosse. Well, we're going to have a committee together that has a lot of information for those those ADs or those presidents that are thinking about starting it. You know, the demographics of our sport, what's it truly cost to start a program at the three different levels, and all those things. So growing the sport is really important to us as well, and we think that technology can help us do that too.
That last point is something I'm really bullish on. I think that the coaches are uniquely well positioned to advocate for the creation of new jobs by putting the appeal of having a men's lacrosse team on campus in front of athletic administrators and saying, you know, it's not just about some of the obvious benefits, but there are a lot of additional benefits that most folks don't realize. And it's not as easy, or I'm sorry, it's not as difficult to accomplish as a lot of athletic administrators might assume out of the box. And obviously, Coach Holman, having gone through that process at a really high profile level at Utah, is uniquely well situated to be able to tell that story too. So that's, it seems like a stroke of brilliance for sure. One of the things that is a highlight of the convention weekend is the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. There will be the fourth class inducted at this week's next week's convention. And I was recently impressed by the role that this plays in the community with the passing of Renzi Lamb and revisiting the photos and videos from that night and the story that we published written by Matt Kinnear about the impression that everybody who was in attendance came away with from Coach Lamb. And so, you know, I would like to hear your thoughts on the role that the Hall of Fame has played in advancing the mission of the IMLCA.
Well, you know, coaches helping coaches, and one of our pillars. And you know, honoring the past is hugely important to us. We have a much closer relationship now than we ever have with the USILA, because you know, one of their missions is the history of the game, and they've been, you know, USILA has been around for, you know, 100 and whatever many years. So the Hall of Fame to us, and it was Coach Meade who really pushed this to start it. It's really important for us, and me as the president right now, to make sure that the history of the game is passed down and down and down. And we're trying to find creative ways to assure that our young coaches are going to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, that they're learning from these greats that came before us. Coach Lamb showed to me, having been there, and I'm the only one I can speak for, just how truly, how much of an impression a college coach can make on their student athletes, and that those are so very often lifelong relationships. You know, it's through our sport that our coaches, our college coaches, positively impact thousands of lives and futures every day. And Coach Lamb and the number of guys, former players and their families that came back to honor him, and, you know, they were loud and boisterous, and did they have a good time. But it showed the love that they had for Coach Lamb, and it was so obvious when he spoke, the love that he had for his former players and their families now. I think the Hall of Fame is showing the world a lot of those qualities that our coaches embody, and I'm not sure you can do that without a Hall of Fame and without ceremonies and emotional speeches like that.
And there, it's hard to build on that because, you know, I've witnessed it. It's been meaningful. It's more than just Coach Lamb's story where I guess I would say I remember when the idea was posited in the first place and Inside Lacrosse played a role in that inaugural ceremony. We did it around Final Four in 2016. And one of the criticisms was, you know, so many of these coaches have been inducted to numerous Hall of Fames to this point. You know, what about the Coaches Hall of Fame is special, and I think that you answered it right there, which is coaches recognizing coaches as opposed to a lot of these other Hall of Fames rely on a lot of different voices. And so, you know, that being the last opportunity that a lot of folks had to see a number of these men alive is something that people will remember for the rest of their lives, and certainly something that, to your point, is to be celebrated as well. Kind of reverting back to a discussion about what's going on now and what will go on in the future. Earlier this fall, you participated in what I would call a stakeholders meeting with a number of entities hosted at US Lacrosse. And I'm curious as to what you take away from that experience to overlay with both the IMLCA operation as well as in what needs to be communicated to the coaches and how kind of that communication both from your membership to deliver to other interested parties as well as backwards, hearing from other interested parties and communicating to your members goes?
It was a really good meeting, I thought. It was an opportunity for all of us to kind of present what we do on a day-to-day basis, you know, within our organizations and what concerns we have for the sport and where we want our association and the sport to go in the future. I think the most important thing for me to portray to the other entities there was that there's a lot of talk about, you know, fragmentation. You and I have talked about fragmentation within the sport and a lack of collaboration within the sport. Those two terms have always, they baffle me. And I think that's kind of a selfish view of the sport when I am baffled by that. But because I see our coaches involved in probably literally every aspect of the sport of lacrosse. You know, we have college coaches that are coaching youth lacrosse with their kids. We have college coaches working camps. We have college coaches coaching the men's national team. We have college coaches coaching the MLL. We have players in the NLL. You know, we're involved with U.S. lacrosse on a lot of different fronts. So for us, when I hear those terms, I'm like, well, what are you talking about? We collaborate with a lot of people. Can we do better? Sure. Can we help here and there more? Sure. Just ask. We'll do it. But it was an opportunity for me to kind of present to those people all the different areas that our college coaches are involved outside of just their team at UPenn or Mary Washington, right? So I thought that was a really important thing for me to do to represent our coaches. Coming away from it, I was very impressed with the people that presented that are running these organizations. I was enthused by the amount of interest in what our college coaches are doing and where we see the sport going. There was a lot of talk about Olympic lacrosse and where is that going to go? What are the resources required to even make a push for 10 years from now? We're talking about you know, lacrosse being in the Olympics. And there was an absolute agreement amongst all of us to try and present a unified front that lacrosse is lacrosse, and we want to propel it forward however best we can, and we all want to help each other do that. You know, I think the MLL moving their season, the NLL moving their season, you know, how are those two going to, how's the MLL and the new league, I forget what it's called, the new league going to interact? Is that going to work out? Are two leagues better than one? How's that work with the NLL? How's it work with the college coaches? How's it work with the college season? We all agreed to have discussions about all the things that will help the game moving forward. And it was a very positive day.
And finally, as we, you know, end this conversation with an eye towards both the convention and beyond, realizing that you have two subsequent conventions left on your term as president, when you think big, is there anything that you haven't touched on already that you'd like to be able to say, man, if we can accomplish this, I'm going to be really proud?
Well, I think structurally it's very important for our association to now work our way into having enough money, to put it bluntly, to hire a full-time executive director similar to that of most other college coaches associations, similar to that of the IWLCA, where the work of running the association does not fall on one or a couple of coaches. I think that's really, you know, if I can leave in 2 years or before that with an executive director in place and a lot of the day-to-day operations taken away from the next president, I think that'll be the best thing that I would have done for the association. All the other stuff is done by the committees and all that. So that's really where I've been focused lately. With the help of the different committees and our coaches being so involved, you know, all the things that you see, you know, the kind of the sexy stuff, the rules and the recruiting calendar and all that stuff, that's being taken care of by our coaches as it should be. But we need someone with, you know, knowledge of lacrosse, but with a good business background and sales and all those things to help us run this organization, because really full-time coaches can't run an association that's becoming as wide, you know, widespread as this one is.
Well, JB Clark, on that note, we understand that you've got coaching to get back to, so we really do appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Best of luck on a successful convention. We look forward to seeing you there, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Terry, thanks for having me on. Really excited about the future of our association and where we're going. So thanks for having me on.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast, the source of the sport.